So my sophomore year in high school, I decided to take a weight training class as my gym class, my gym elective. You have to take a gym class. I decided to take a weight training class. I thought that'd be fun, be something different. I kind of like to do things that were a little different. Everybody else that I knew was taking Spanish, French, and German, so I took Latin. I figured that was different than everybody else, you know. And so I just like to do things a little bit differently, so I thought I'd take this weight training class. But I did not know, when I took this weight training class, how hard I would be worked. See, it was the spring semester. It was the spring semester, which means that football wasn't happening in the spring. And guess who the coach was for my weight training class? The football coach. And then after I started the class, I heard from some of the other students that said, oh man, he takes out, the football teacher or the football coach takes out all of his aggression that he would normally take it out on the football players on that weight training class. I was like, okay, well, I signed up for the class. I guess I better do this. And so he started us out on a regimen of like Mondays and Thursdays, we worked our arms and our chest. And Tuesdays and Fridays, we worked like back and legs and neck or something like that. And Wednesdays were our high fitness day. And after I got in the habit of, you know, working out and that kind of thing, I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. But the day I dreaded was the Wednesdays, the high fitness days. These are the days that you ran and you did whatever you could as hard as you possibly could. And I remember the one I hated the most, or I dreaded the most, was these quarter lap sprints that we had to do for the entire period. So we go outside on the track, this is in Omaha, go outside on the track, go to the starting line, and we would sprint as fast as we could a quarter of the way around the track. And then we have to walk back quickly. They were timing us, so we had to make sure that we continued to go as fast as we could. We'd run a quarter lap, walk back quick, run a quarter lap, walk back quick. You get the idea. For a whole hour, I'm doing this. I don't think I've ever ran as hard in my life. All right? And so I remember many times after getting done with that, I'd be walking back up to the gym, and I'd actually just kind of fall down on my knees, and I'd just be like going through the motions of dry heaving, basically. I'm just like, ugh, I can't do this. And if I made it that far, if I made it beyond that, if I didn't have to do that, then I get to my next period, and I sit down in class, and I would just get flushed, and I feel like I was going to pass out. You know? Those are the things that I felt afterwards. But you know what? I was in really good shape. I could do more push-ups at that point in my life than I've ever been able to do since. It was great. It was great. But I didn't grow up playing sports as a kid. It wasn't really a thing that I was really big into. I think it was because I wasn't really coordinated to do so. And so I took a survey of different sports. So I played soccer one season. I played baseball one season. I played basketball too one season. I even did a bowling league, just one league. You know, I did play sand volleyball though for a couple of years, but that was when I was in my 20s and it was a bunch of our friends and we were just hanging out and having a good time, and there wasn't really this whole idea of how well you're going to do. It's just we got together to have fun. So I didn't really understand growing up the need for physical discipline. And like I said, I wasn't really coordinated either as far as that's concerned. And so I found other things to do, like play video games. A lot of video games. A lot of hours of video games. So many hours that today I don't play video games pretty much anymore unless one of my kids asks me to play with them. And sometimes my wife. Not usually, though. It's been a while. We can hook up those old gaming systems, and I can still school my children. I can still school my children without even practicing anymore. Atari, yeah. Not Nintendo, the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. You get a little beyond that, and that's beyond my realm of expertise. All right? But I spent a lot of time practicing playing those games. And even though I don't do it anymore, I'm still really good at it. I can still play those games pretty well, the old school games. It comes back to me. Well, as we were nearing the end of 2022, God began to show me several places in his scripture where he talks about the word practice. Practice. He tells us, he uses it to show us what we should be practicing, and also as well the effects of what happens when we practice what isn't good. like in the Old Testament, it talks about the evil practices or the detestable practices of the other nations, not Israel, in order to make this point that to get better at something, really anything, there is a need for practice, a need for practice. See if there's any Sander girls here, no? Anyway, I was going to say the Sander girls, you know, when you want to get better at practicing piano, or you want to get better at playing piano, what do? You practice. You practice. You spend time practicing. When you're learning how to write, you remember those old papers that had like the two solid lines and the dotted line? The handwriting papers, I think is what they're called. And you're learning how to do cursive. You're practicing that. You're practicing doing your letters. You practice it. When you want to be a better ball handler, you know, soccer or whatever like that, you practice. Basketball, you practice. You practice. When you're learning to draw or you're learning to do art, you know, you start drawing. You start doing art. You start practicing those things. When you want to get better at your job, when you first start a new job, you are like, man, this is, okay, I know a few things about what we're doing, but I have to learn how this particular company does their work. And so you start from ground zero lots of times, but you practice every single day, and the longer that you're at that company, the better you get at what it is that they do. I remember that when I was working at Marketing Ideas for Printers. It was the last job I had in Fargo-Moorhead before we moved out here. And I started day one, and I'm like, oh, man, I know a few things, but this is all the stuff that they're doing, all the stuff that they're talking about, this is over my head. But I kept telling myself, okay, if I'm here, you know, 6 months, if I'm here a year, if I'm here 2 years, I'm going to know this job a whole lot better than what I know it right now. I just got to stick it out. I got to continue to practice. I got to come to work every single day. And I did. I got better, too. Learning how to deal with an irate person, you know, wherever that may be, whether it's at your job or maybe it's your neighbor or someone at the store or someone on the phone, right? How do we learn how to deal with an irate person? We practice by spending time dealing with irate people. It happens, whether we want it to or not sometimes. When you want to be a better parent, you practice by spending time with your kids, learning about who it is that they are, and then encouraging them in what God has made them to be, who God has made them to be. You can also read a book or talk to someone who's a little bit older than you, so that by the time that we as parents get to be grandparents, we'll know how to parent. And all the grandparents said amen? Amen? Yes, there we go. When you want to be a better spouse, you practice by listening, right? Listening and communicating, and maybe not saying the first words that come to your mouth because they're dripping with emotional disdain lots of times, right? But just waiting a few seconds. And like Kelly talked about earlier, the marriage retreat, that's a good way to practice being a better spouse. February 24th and 25th is when that is. It's at Ivory North, just north of Jason and Mynea's house. And it's $65, and so it's an opportunity for us to go and practice at being a better spouse. That's a good way to practice. And then, when you want to be a grounded follower of Christ, when he becomes the firm foundation that we stand upon, we practice the spiritual disciplines. Now, what is a spiritual discipline? Well, we'll get to that. But initially, in a similar sense to how an athlete practices the physical disciplines, when they're going to the gym, when they're working out, when they're running, when they're exercising, when they're watching their diet, they're eating healthy. By the way, I was sitting with Phoenix this week, and he was eating a cucumber and a beef stick and had some kind of yogurt thing. And I was like, wow, this is really like healthy. He's like, I like to eat healthy. I was like, wow, that's good. Joy, you trained him well. See, there you go. He's eating healthy. When we get good sleep, this is the athletes I'm still talking about here. The athletes practicing physical disciplines, like getting good sleep, avoiding drugs and alcohol, the wrong kind of parties, the wrong kind of relationships, so that all of those things they do so that they can become a better player or a better athlete on the field. So a believer, a follower of Christ, practices the spiritual disciplines to, number one, draw closer to God, who is our coach, who trains us through the disciplines for godliness. And number two, to become more like him, to become more like Jesus. Like we talked about last week, when who is the one who's sitting in the boat sleeping when the storm of life is going on, right? To be less affected by the things of this world so that we can be more affected by his Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. And through these disciplines, God brings transformation into our lives so that we can move together in unity as a body of Christ to then go and reach our community. Amen. So this is what God is drawing us to talk about as we begin 2023. This is our new series. What are the spiritual disciplines and how do we practice them? We're going to get in shape. Whew! We're going to get in shape. All right. If you got your Bibles, open them with me and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And as you're turning there, in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, the older Paul is admonishing the younger Timothy in how he should conduct himself as he ministers to others. Those things that he should be practicing, and those practices, or those things being practiced that he should be aware of, so he can speak into those things. And in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul gives Timothy the reason for why he's writing this. He says, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed in coming to you. Back then they didn't have email. They couldn't just, you know, type up an email and there you go. Let me tell you some things you need to remember. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. I love how Paul calls the church, God's household. It's God's household. Friendship, family, not this building, but us, the church. We are God's household. We're his household. We're part of his house. That's so cool. This place is where truth is read, where truth is heard, and where truth is lived out. It's a place where we can practice these spiritual disciplines. Not the only place, mind you, not the only place, but it's a safe place where we can come and practice the spiritual disciplines, that we also might know what is true from what is not. And then Paul gets to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. That's what we're going to read together today. Verse 1, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. This is why we pray for our food before we eat at the dinner table, right? It's not out of tradition. It's not for God to bless it. He's already created it all to be good. Jesus said it's not what a man takes into his body that defiles him, but rather what comes out of him, out of his heart. All right? So we don't do it out of tradition or for God to bless the food, but to thank him for providing it. That's what we do. Verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. That's all of us as believers. We are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? You'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be what? Godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Do you know that God is the Savior of every single person? Amen? Whether they choose to receive him or not is up to them. But God is the Savior of all people, and obviously especially those who believe. So we read there, physical training has some value. It does. There is value in physical training, but only for while we live this life, and only a segment of our lives today. But training in godliness has value for all things. All things. When we get up in the morning, what do? When we brush our teeth, when we have breakfast, when we communicate with one of our children or our spouse or somebody else, in everything that we do, when we're shopping at the grocery store, all right, when we're working at our jobs, it has value. Godliness has value for all the things that we do, for all of life, and not only in this life, but in the life to come as well. And it is through practicing or training in these spiritual disciplines that God gives us the right perspective of himself, of ourselves, and of the world around us, including the prince of this world, Satan himself, and his demons, and what they may be up to. Now, the scripture doesn't mean that we shouldn't be taking care of our bodies that God has given us, but rather to understand that physical training, as any other kind of training, should never take the place of training for godliness. It's important, but it's not as important as spiritual training for godliness. And one big reason why, if we don't practice the spiritual disciplines, we could get deceived. Verse 7, there's a command that Paul gives us by the Holy Spirit's inspiration there when he says, train yourself to be godly. But this command is attached to the statement prior at the beginning of verse 7, where Paul says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Now, why does Paul say that? He says it because those things can take the place of training in godliness. In other words, there are other things that are not true that could become what we practice instead of the spiritual disciplines. Now, could they? Really? Could they? Look back at verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, if you knew that a demon was teaching you, you wouldn't believe it, right? If you knew that. That's why it says deceiving spirits. Deception. That's the thing about deception. When we are deceived, we don't know it. We don't know that we're deceived. When we don't practice the spiritual disciplines, we become susceptible to deception. When we don't practice the spiritual disciplines, we become susceptible to deception. So what we practice, we will get better at. What we practice, we will get better at, whatever it is that we practice. If we practice bad things, sin, and wrongdoing, if we practice those things, we will get better at. Better is maybe not the right word. When we practice sin and wrongdoing, the more you do it, the more natural it feels, and the easier it is to do those things again and again and again. To the point where we may not even acknowledge them as sinful anymore. That's just part of who I am. Proverbs 11 and verse 27 says, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Those who make it a practice to seek good find favor from the Lord, who is good. Thank you. One person knows. The Lord is good. Amen? And he is only good. But for those who make a practice of searching for what is evil, what happens to them? The Bible says that evil comes to them, whether they know it or not. If it does, we can become deceived We can become deceived. Our hearts can become seared as with a hot iron. And then we can in turn begin listening to those who will tell us what our itching ears want to hear. Oh, I like that. I want to hear more of that. Oh, it feels so good. Right? What our itching ears want to hear. Those who will approve of our sinful behaviors that we practice. Those who will rationalize it. For the time will come, Paul says later in 2 Timothy 4, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. See, we see that word again being used, myths. What does that word mean? In the Greek, it's the word mythos. It's a speech, a tale, a fable, or a figment. It could sound, it's a word from somebody. It's another definition of it, okay? But no matter what it is or how good it sounds, if it's not of the word, it's not telling us the truth. And yet we may believe these things if we choose not to practice the spiritual disciplines. For what you practice, you will get better at. Are you hearing me today?
Yep.
Okay. Paul lays out in Galatians 5 the acts or the practices of the flesh. In verse 19, he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Maybe that's not all of us, but Paul is not done yet. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These things are only obvious when we first know the truth and practice it. A lost person has no idea. Okay? It doesn't matter to them. They can practice whatever they want. And the world, today especially, tells them that's okay. That's just who you are. You go ahead and practice those things. But Paul lets us know where those wrong kinds of practices lead us. In verse 21 there, he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live like this, that's the NIV. The New King James, the Inkajiv translation, says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia. Okay? He's talking to believers. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can have both good and bad practices. You know this, right? So then let me ask you, what are you practicing? What are you spending your time getting better at? Getting better at. Still not on. There we go. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want any of you to be deceived either. There you go. Thank you. So we can all stand to grow more through the spiritual disciplines. Would you agree with that? We can all stand to grow more? So let's talk about them. What are the spiritual disciplines? What are the spiritual disciplines? Number one, the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. What's prayer? What is it? Talking to God. Very simply, just talking to God. We'll make the switch back here.
Thank you.
It's talking to God. No, I don't need this anymore. All right. Do you set aside time each day to talk to God? Do you spend time in focused prayer each and every day? Do you talk to Him throughout the day in the things that you're doing? God, I need help in this conversation. God, what should I choose to do here? I'm hungry. What should I have for lunch? You know? Do you talk to him throughout the day? Or do you just pray when there's a prayer request that gets sent out? The discipline of prayer. Number two, the discipline of reading the Bible or the Word. Do you set aside time daily to spend in God's Word? Now, there's a lot of different ways to spend time in His Word today that don't require actually opening up a physical Bible. Do you use one of those or some of those? What are you doing regularly to spend time in His Word? Number three, the discipline of fasting. Many of us would say that we pray and we read the Word, but when we add this third element in there, the number of those of us who do that goes way down. What's fasting? It's giving up something to spend time or more focused attention on God. Those things that we hunger for, those things that we desire, those things that we want, we turn our attention from those things and instead we say, God, I'm hungering for you. Lord, I want more of you. I thirst for you. It gives us that more focused attention as we give up things that draw us closer to God. This isn't one of my favorite disciplines, by the way. But I do find after doing it that the outcome outweighs the discipline. Number four, the discipline of worship. Of worship, both corporately and privately. Do you spend any time worshiping the Lord outside of our Sunday morning worship time? Or maybe a Wednesday night if you serve here. Do you spend any time worshiping God? By the way, worship doesn't require music. It doesn't require music. It should be a habit that we cultivate as a church, not just during organized service times. Number five, the discipline of community. Community. In our world of internet in every home and on every phone and the ability to ship and have delivered all of the things that we could ever need, it's made it very convenient, and obviously post-COVID has made it very convenient to set aside or skip out on this discipline. But what is a community? It's fellowship. It's getting together with all the other fellows in the ship, right? God has made us relational beings, and we are made in His image. And so as God is relational, and He wants to be in relationship with each and every one of us, He also knows that we thrive and work best when we operate within a community, when we are in relationship with other believers. Number six, the discipline of generosity. Generosity. When we hear this word, generosity, in the church, people tend to immediately associate it with financially giving. There's so much more to it than that. Or even the larger thought that many are spoken of in the world today, where they say, oh, the church just wants my money. That's what they're about. They just want my money. My money? Pretty sure that everything that I have and everything that I am are sheer gifts from God. You know? Everything belongs to Him. The focus of this discipline is, where does our heart lie? Not in how much are we giving. Where does my heart lie? Are you willing to be generous with that which God has given you? Your life, your time, your resources, and your finances. Are you willing to be generous? And if so, you have the willingness, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Generosity cost us something. Number seven, the discipline of silence and meditation. We talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about being still and knowing that He is God in order to come to Him and find rest. But being still, like I said last week, is not just when we're asleep or when we're trying to go to sleep. We can be wide awake and be still. So there's a time and a season for everything. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that. And so some of the time that we've been given needs to be spent being still before the Lord. Not just coming to Him when we're frantic. Not just coming to Him when we're panicked. Not just coming to Him when we're stressed. But to come to Him and just be still before Him. And meditate on what His Word says. and what he has spoken to us. By the way, meditating is not yoga. And it's not like what the other religions of the world use that word as meditating. But it is to meditate on the Word of God and on who he is. The Bible has several references to the word meditating, especially in the Psalms. We meditate on the Word of God and on his works, and we'll talk about that. And number 8, the discipline of rest. This discipline isn't about finding rest, but rather taking the time to rest. Taking the time to rest, to have a Sabbath. Jesus said in Mark 2 and 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? It was made for us so that we would take a Sabbath rest. God has commanded us to rest from our labors. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? What might have to be given up or done differently to take a Sabbath each week? So these disciplines, Lord willing, is what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Not necessarily in that order. We'll see. So don't be like, okay, I want to be here for the, you know, the community one, but not the generosity one, so I'm going to go 5 weeks from now, and not, I don't know what order they're going to be in, just so you know. But as we do, I encourage you to pick one or two and to begin to work at consistently practicing them in your lives. And maybe there's some that you do already kind of practice. This is an opportunity for you to practice that one more. And just a couple of points of clarification before we close today, as we're talking about spiritual disciplines. Number one, spiritual disciplines are not about trying harder to be a Christian. They are not about trying harder to be a Christian. You are a Christian when you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, to return away from your sins and turn to him. That's it. You are a Christian. Spiritual disciplines are not about trying to practice or to work harder at being a Christian. Spiritual disciplines is what Christians practice. That's what we do. Okay? When you practice something, you have good days and you have bad days. Just like athletes. Some days they get out there and they're practicing and they actually exceed their goal or their record, whatever. They break their goal. They break their record and they're like, yes. And the next day it's like, man, I can't even, where is that record? It's so far away, I can't even see it. Okay? With spiritual disciplines, we can have days where we really experience an intimacy with the Lord. When we sense his nearness and we can hear him speaking to us. And I'm like, God, you're so great. And then we wake up the next day and it's like, God, where are you? Right? That's okay. Don't be discouraged. In the intimacy that we have with the Lord, we practice the disciplines that deepen that relationship, that intimacy with him, so that we can hear him above the chatter of the world, so that we can be more like him. And number two, the disciplines, they're not going to work out in your schedule. I'm just going to say that right now. They're not going to work out in your schedule. They wouldn't be disciplines if they did. Discipline cost us something. But I like the definition of discipline as this. Discipline is remembering what you want. It's remembering what you want. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. What do we do in order to do that? We practice. We practice. Everyone who competes in the games, Paul says, goes into strict training. What are they practicing? Strict training that will help them to win the race. Paul says they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, meaning without purpose. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my own body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul is saying, I don't want to live the do as I say but don't do as I do lifestyle, but rather follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We don't focus on what the spiritual disciplines cost us now. We look forward instead to developing a good practice that will help us to not be deceived and will add value to all of the things that we do, every single thing of our day, every single moment. It adds value, training in godliness does, both now and in the life to come. And the good news is the more that we practice these spiritual disciplines, the better we get at them. The better we get at them. Again, it's not about trying harder, but as we practice through the good days and the bad, we will get better. They will become easier to do, and they will become more of a part of our lifestyle. We won't have to just try to do them anymore. They'll just come as a natural part of what we do. Amen? As we close today, Corbin loves to play soccer. My son Corbin loves to play soccer. He's pretty good at it. He's a good team player, you know? But at his age, and in the area that we live in, the only thing that he can really sign up for is this competitive traveling soccer team. This competitive traveling soccer team begins the beginning of April and ends the end of July. It's 4 months. Okay, he's got practices 2 to 3 times a week, practices and games. And because it's a traveling team, some of those games are 2 to 3 hours away. They're ways away. And they have tournaments on weekends over the course of that time. Okay? And part of him being on that team is that Kelly and I basically have to become part-time employees of the soccer field and be working out there. So it's a commitment. It's a huge commitment. Okay? And it would take discipline, not just on Corbin's part, but on the rest of us as well. But here's the thing. It could mean that Corbin has to miss out, and so, and one of us at least, would have to miss out on Wednesday nights or a Sunday morning. And as you know, that doesn't really work for me. It doesn't really work for me. That's kind of a deal breaker for me. It can mean that he misses out on kids camp, which is in June, okay? Not to mention the expenses of all of the traveling that it would take, and we've got to prepare food for 7 people, and it's not easy to prepare gluten-free and dairy-free food when everything has to be fixed from simple ingredients and put it all together, and so it's just easier to go somewhere and buy something, but then it's not so cheap to buy things because they're dairy-free and gluten-free, and so do you see my dilemma? And so we had to make the hard decision to say no to the Spring Soccer League. Because for us, saying no, or saying yes to that would mean that we said no to a whole lot of other things. A whole lot of other things. I don't say this to condemn anybody else's sports in their, for their kids. Please just understand that. I'm not saying that to condemn that. Even though I didn't grow up playing sports, but I see the value in sports. I see that kids can learn a discipline by doing sports. I see that kids can learn how to play like a team in playing sports. We've signed Corbin up for a winter futsal. That, if you know what that is, it's an indoor soccer thing, you know, for 6 weeks that he can play just once a week, 45 minutes a week. That we can do. There's a fall competitive soccer as well. It's only 6 weeks, doesn't have near the amount of requirements as what this one does. We're going to sign him up for that as well. I know your weekly schedule is not the same as ours, but I bring that up to ask you this question. What is it that you're practicing? What are you practicing with the time that you've been given? Let's take the beginning of 2023 to start a new habit or to build on one that you've already been doing. Pick one of the spiritual disciplines as we go through them. And ask God with his help to commit to doing it regularly. And if one of those disciplines is something that you practice regularly, or one that you have benefited from, and you'd be willing to share a testimony of that on that Sunday morning when we talk about that particular discipline, I'm going to invite you to do that. Okay? As we go through these next 8 disciplines, there's one that really stands out to you. I've talked to a few of you a little bit about it, but if there's one of them that really stands out to you, I just want you to, maybe we'll do an open mic testimony time kind of thing at the end of the services. But it's so important not just to know what the spiritual disciplines are, but how do we practice them? And hearing that how that we practice them is a testimony. Okay? Now, do you agree that spiritual disciplines are an important part of what we do as a Christian? Okay, Well, if you agree with me, let's stand and let's pray. And let's ask God to help us to learn to practice these things. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that for the things that we can understand and take on from your word. Lord, the truths that you speak to us, the things that you know are going to help us. These spiritual disciplines, they are for us. They're for us. They help us to not be deceived. They help us to grow in our relationship with you. They help us to experience a deeper intimacy with you. They help us to be more like Jesus. They help us to not get all upset in the storms of life. The spiritual disciplines are for us. So God, we recognize that they are important. And an important part of what we as believers do today. So Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to take one or two or all eight, whatever you want us to do, God. Help us to take that one or two, though, at least, and pray into those things and ask you, God, how we can make this work in our schedules. As we know that it does not necessarily align really easily with our normal schedules. But God, help us to be found living out these spiritual disciplines that will deepen our relationship with you. Because God, we love you. And we want to know you more. We want to be less affected by the things of this world and more affected by your Holy Spirit. Help us to do that, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and what you want to do in 2023. You are our God. Apart from you, there is no good thing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.